The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I got to be honest, Carver High, I really believe, I thought about it, and I was like, because, you know, I just absorbed so much basketball in my life. I truly believe that the NCAA basketball tournament is better than the NBA playoffs, without a doubt. First of all, the problem I have with the NBA is that every night it's the same story. Who's playing, who isn't? They never play. I mean, these guys take off more than airplanes. I mean, honestly, they just don't play, and they make hundreds of millions of dollars, a lot of them, and they don't play. And you never see that in college basketball. You got to peel a kid off the court. I mean, they'll play with broken. Did you see this kid Noel playing with his ankle rolled in the NCAA tournament? The guy couldn't even walk and he played with it. College players play all out. And I think that the NCAA tournament, in my view, is bet way more heavily than the NBA or the NBA playoffs. I mean, I won't deny there's going to be heavy betting on the conference finals and NBA finals. Fair enough, right? You can't tell me. I'm sorry. You can't tell me that's better than the NCAA tournament, particularly the first 2 weeks. Now, Saturday and Monday, when they play the semis and the final, I think it's a little bit overblown. I think the college football playoff is overblown. I think that those games are always a disappointment. And then the title game is better, right? But I do not believe that the NBA finals is better than the NCAA tournament, that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or the second week at a Sweet 16 and Elite Eight. You can't tell me the NBA is better than that. I mean, I'm sorry. I just don't believe it for 1 minute. He says that players can't shoot. They don't do anything. You know, all I worry about in the NBA is the same things. You know, they don't – who can knock down mid-rangers and threes with consistency in the NBA? And then the way they never play is the real turnoff, right? The way that they never go to work. Now, there's guys like Randall plays every night. I admire that. But these guys that never play and always miss, you don't see that in college. I think the college game is fantastic. I think the NIL has screwed it up a little bit. Miami bought their team. They got a $2 million team playing in the Final Four. Now you just pay for the best players and you'll be in the deep portions of the tournament. And I think that's a shame. I agree with people that think, frankly, that you get enough when you get a full ride to college to play D1 college basketball. And now you got to pay two chicks, $1 million to play at Miami. The Cavender twins, they got paid a lot of money to go there. I think it's real dirty. I think now people that have said that it's going to boil down to 20 teams, 25 teams in all of college sports that'll have a chance to win ever in anything, football or basketball, because of NIL. I think NIL has ruined college sports.
Well, quickly sneak in what Fox did say. Here he is after the game last night saying he's not a fan, or before the game saying he's not a fan of college rack.
Have you been watching March Madness at all?
I kind of flip through college games. I can't watch a full college game.
Really?
No, I can't.
Is it that bad?
It's hard. Okay. It's hard. Just the shot making's not at, obviously, the pro level. The refs are bad. A lot of coaching is really bad. I can't stand it.
It's the same thing in the NBA. And let me tell you something else. My man would still be in college. He's so young. He was one and done. So I don't want to hear it from him. The guy that went to college for 5 minutes so he could get paid. He didn't want to go to college. He wanted to go straight to the NBA. Stop. Just stop. Are you kidding me? We're taking advice from this 23-year-old? I mean, shut up. Shut up. They don't shoot well. Well, neither do you guys. And he's one of my favorite players. I love watching him play. I'm not talking about him, but I am in the sense that him mocking college basketball is hilarious, considering he played for 3 minutes.
We welcome in all of our radio affiliates for all coast to coast.
Oh, and he never went to class either. I'll bet my life on it.
SiriusXM 159, Sports Byline. All right, before we get to tonight's games, quickly, just the West standings. Nobody cares about the East. So we will just go to the Western Conference, where despite the loss last night, the win last night, Dallas still on the outside looking in there of the play-in tournament. The Warriors did drop into the play-in tournament. T-Wolves move up into the sixth hole. So Warriors, Pelicans, Lakers, Thunder in the play-in spots right now.
I got to tell you, some level of me says – you've got to get the Warriors into that 5 or 6 spot. I'm sorry. They're too good to be a play-in team. First of all, when they play the play-in game, they're going to win. And then they're going to be in it anyway. But I would rather see them in it, in the 6, no matter what. Because, everyone's already crowned the Suns as the Cream Puffs coming back tomorrow to start playing. They've already crowned them. And everybody else sucks. Now, Denver never wins anything. Remember that. The Clippers never win anything. Remember that. And they're 1-5, right? What do the Sacramento Kings do in the history of the NBA besides absolutely nothing? So let's scratch those three right there. So you got the Grizzlies, and you got what? The T-Wolves are going to win the NBA championship? Rah! The only team that has a legitimate team that wins titles is the Golden State Warriors, whether you like it or not. And you know why? Because they got Steph Curry. That's it. End of subject.
Yeah, everybody's pushing the Cream Puff Reaper, who's coming back on Wednesday.
He never wins without Steph Curry. Remember that, too.
One without him.
I can't wait to watch them crumble in the playoffs. I can't wait.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver High, we were really hot last night picking NBA games and NHL for that matter. Let's do it again. We got some pro rack tonight.
We certainly do. We'll start in Washington, where the Celtics visit the Wiz tonight in D.C. Celtics road favorites 11.5, 222.5 is the total.
I mean, Boston's going to win this game. This boils down to can the Wizards stay within 12? Can they lose by less than a dozen? I think they can. I think they play pretty well in D.C. I like Beal and the Zinger. I think they cover the number. I think the Celtics win and just handle their business. Like, you have to understand, these games now are meaningless to these Eastern teams that are already locked in. So all they're doing is going through the motions, a paycheck game. They're going to try to win, but they're not going to lose any sleep over it.
The Cavs are in Atlanta against the Hawks tonight. Hawks minus 2.5, 238.5 is the total.
Yeah, I'm on the Cavs here. They're flat out better than the Atlanta Hawks. That's all there is to it.
The Hawks suck. Let's just flat out put it out there. I mean, they're just not that good. Heat are in Toronto against the Raptors. Raptors minus 5.5, 218.5 the total.
I like the Raptors tonight. No buckets. He's not going to play. No Butler. So, wait a minute. That means I got to take the Heat, Carver. Yeah, right. No star player. I'm on Miami. Sorry.
So you got to stay with what's been working for you. You got to take the Heat now tonight in Toronto. Yeah. The Magic are in Memphis against the Grizzlies. Grizzlies minus 6.5, 228.5 is the total there.
This number was 8.5 this morning, and it's 6.5 now. Everybody's on Orlando. I'm on Memphis, laying 6.5 at home off Beale Street with Ja and company. I mean, did you see his second game back? His second game back, they won by 40. The first game back, he had 17. Now he's back, fully locked in. I'm on the Grizzlies here. No problem.
They have, I think, the reason for the couple points. They've listed Ja Morant as doubtful now. For tonight with a thigh. So Morant doubtful. So that's probably why you had a couple points.
All the more reason to bet on the Grizzlies. No one's playing. I'm all over Memphis. I'm going to run to the window right now.
Yes. All the more reason to do that. The Hornets, who have been picking up some wins against the Mavericks lately, are in OKC against the Thunder. Thunder laying a fat 9.5, 226.5 the total.
Yeah, I think the Thunder are going to win this game and cover. I think the Hornets are Gladbag City, packing it in.
And finally, a short slate tonight, the late night game. The Pelicans, after whacking the Blazers in Portland last night, now have to go to the Chase to take on the Warriors. 8.5 the number, 234.5 the hefty total.
I got it at 9.5 at BetMGM this morning. I'm on the Pelicans here. I think it's going to be a great game. I think they looked great last night. They rolled the Blazers. I think B.I. and his buddy C.J. are going to be in this game till the end. I think this is a real close game. I think the Pelicans can win. I won't be surprised if the Dubs win by a bucket or three. I'm not laying 9. I took the 9.5. 8.5 is fine. I'm fine with that, too.
Potential maybe play-in game between these two. If the season ended today, that would be the play-in game. Pelicans and the Warriors.
And I'll bet my life at halftime of that game, the Pelicans will be leading. And the Warriors are going to have to work in the fourth quarter to win the game. The Pelicans, I don't think are anything spectacular. But I'm not talking about, you know, having to win here. I'm talking about covering a 9.5 spot. I don't care about anything else. I'm like, will B.I. and will C.J. and will, you know, Valanciunas and company show up and cover a number? That's all I care about.
There you go. Your night in the NBA, 6 games. Let's make it happen. Couple things in college for you before we move on. Of course, Final Four this Saturday in Houston. We have our participants. One of them, of course, is the Miami Hurricanes, who will face UConn in the second game on Saturday. First trip ever for the U to the Final Four. Let's start Jim Larrañaga here, Scotty. Back for the first time since taking George Mason. He says this Final Four really shows you the parity in college basketball.
This Final Four demonstrates the parity in college basketball right now.
Thank you, Jim.
I think it also demonstrates the impact the transfer portal has had on college basketball. Sound because like the transfer portal allows a team to get older very quickly. I mean, and so almost everybody in our league has a terrific transfer student. Last year, only 9 schools in the country, and we were one of them, did not have anybody transfer out. That means, what is it, 356 or 7 schools had people transfer out.
Math,
well, where are they all going? On, well, they're all looking someplace where the grass is greener. And so they have found it in programs that they assimilate to and fit in well and have a significant role.
Let me tell you something. What in Portuguese, what that means is Miami pays more to their players to play there than anywhere else. Okay, like,
that's okay.
But that's okay now because it's legal. Whoever pays the most money is going to have the best players. That's it. Like, the entire team is transferred there. I mean, they all get paid. $2.2 million, allegedly, is the payroll for the Miami Canes. And the women's side had players making all kinds of money. If you want to get rich, play at Miami. That's what that says. That's all there is to it. Now, I don't deny for 1 minute that Jim Larrañaga is a great coach, a fantastic coach. What he's done with those talented players. Like, you know that Pac alone is making $800,000 to play at Miami?
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus. I mean, honestly, like, it really is ridiculous when you think about it. I mean, I believe in 5 to 10 years, the players will be making double what the coach earns.
Probably true. I'm going to pass on the other one with Jim just because I can't believe they made him do that interview so early in the morning after celebrating a Final Four win. So we'll move on from Larrañaga. Odds to win the whole thing on Monday night with the four teams left. UConn minus 125. San Diego State 375, Miami 475, FAU 625. This is actually a nice little chart that shows you when the tournament started, Scotty. UConn was 16-1. San Diego State and Miami in the 80-1 range, and FAU was 200-1. That's when the tournament started. And look at where they are now, minus 125 for UConn.
Well, as you know, that you and I are – well, so I have a lot of disparity here. First of all, the young gun is rooting for San Diego State because he wants to go to college there. Secondly, Miami and FAU are the ones that you and I want to win. So I like those odds. But so my son says to me, you know, I said, what's it going to be? And he goes, well, I really want to go to San Diego State. And I said, if I go to Indiana, I got a lot of friends there. I'm already going to be in a frat. It's all lined up for me. It's going to be great. I got great basketball, everything else. I said, well, then go to Indiana. He goes, it's just too cold. I said, well, then there's your decision. If it's too cold, if you're not man enough to go to Bloomington, Indiana with their candy ass weather, which is 10 degrees better than New York City, then go to San Diego and chase bikini all day. What's the hard decision there, Carver High? You got to, as you know, you made this choice for him a long time ago. You never turn down San Diego for anything.
I can't believe that it's even still being discussed.
Discussed.
I can't understand why it's still on the table. Should have made the decision the second he got the acceptance letter. It was done. San Diego, Southern California, no other option.
Scared to death, I think. Pull the trigger.
3,500 miles from home. I mean, 4,000.
Oh, yeah, he said that, too. It's too far. I'm like, what's the difference? 6 hours in a plane or 2 hours in a plane? You still got to get on a plane.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Know your prey. This is a whole new jungle. This is the Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
All right, March matchups. You bet $10, you get $200 instantly. How do you do it? Well, you download the BetMGM Sportsbook app on iOS or Android. Then you sign up, deposit at least $10 into your new account, place a pregame moneyline wager in the amount of at least $10 on any team to win an NCAA game at standard odds price. You'll get $200 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your wager instantaneously. I mean, you bet $10, they're giving you $200. You're good to go. You can do it Saturday with the Final Four and you'll be Gandhi. It's the easiest $200 you ever made. It's time for the Lion's Share with Coach James Young, brought to you by BetMGM. I want to start with, we were talking earlier about De'Aaron Fox saying that college basketball sucks. He can't watch it. He can't take it. He says the players are terrible. The coaches are terrible. The refs are terrible. And then I said on the show, coming from the guy that played 5 minutes in college and ran to the bag. And then, you know, the same league that no one ever plays, at least in college basketball, guys will play with their ankles completely swollen and rolled. They'll play through anything in college. You don't see kids missing college games unless they're crippled. In the pros, a guy sneezes, he's out a week.
I mean, what is De'Aaron Fox the voice of reason now? Like, bro, your team's been good for 1 year. 1 year. You were coached by Luke Walton and who, Alvin Gentry or whatever, were your last coaches. So all of a sudden now, you're the spokesperson of basketball? And that the fact of, let me tell you something, bro. The NBA is just as bad. Shoot, it's even worse.
Guys, that's what I said.
Play. Guys want to get traded. Guys fight with referees. Guys get texts. Like, I mean, don't even get me started with a guy like De'Aaron Fox. Like, he's the spokesperson of what's wrong with basketball in the world. Listen, bro, if you had won, I'm sorry, have you had been to the playoffs before, you can talk about how great your team is, but just because y'all are hot now don't mean y'all were hot back then. Pipe down, son. NBA is just as bad, if not worse.
And I actually love him. He's one of my favorite players. I love Shai Gilgeous and De'Aaron Fox like nobody's business. But for him to say that, I just thought it was weak, particularly with as long as he played college basketball for 5 minutes. But then again, and tell me who can hit that mid-range shot in the NBA besides nobody. So anyway, I want to talk. And by the way, I hit the T-Wolves last night with the five at Sacramento. They won the game outright. I love that bet. So let me ask you about this. I thought Jordan Ivey broke out last night. First time ever as a pro for me. For my money, last night was the first time we ever saw him play big time.
Well, listen, we know Jaden is an absolute animal. It's just a matter of time for him to figure out. He's missed some time. Let's be honest, Pharrell. That team is a hot mess. All right, we got to figure out what's going to happen with Dwayne Casey as a coach. But let me tell you something. When he came out, I thought he was going to be him, like that dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought he was going to be rookie year. It's interesting for me to find out, and let's be honest, with the fact of him having the 8 assists, you got to wonder, and I'm going to say this, but they're both young. Can him and Cade truly play together? Or does one have to go? Because they look like two ball dominant guards, and to me, what was Jaden Ivey most effective last night? He had the ball in his hands. He wasn't playing off the ball, right? But that's the way he was at Purdue. When he had the ball in his hands, he could shoot, he could drive, he could score, he could dish. I want to see the ball with more of him in his hands. So let's look at that assist prop coming down the pipe. If they keep hanging that thing low, that could be a play every night, Jaden Ivey in his assist, because he is a willing passer and he's got the ability to get to the cup and create for others.
So how is it that you and I have had this conversation a million times that, like, Kyrie Cantor and Luka can't play together? Now you're talking about these two guys can't play together, where every team in the league essentially has been on the same pattern for the last decade, if you ask me, and it's stacking rosters, stacking super teams. You got to have this guy, that guy, and that guy to win. Three guys to win. They did it in Miami, then they did it in Golden State, and they've done it everywhere else, Brooklyn, et cetera. The bottom line is they have to make it work. There's no way that I believe trading him is the right move in Detroit. They have to find a way for those two to play together because they're both so special. They can win with them is the plan. How do you get rid of one of them because one guy's not happy, he doesn't get the rock enough? Are you kidding me?
Well, here's the thing, Pharrell. And this is what I'm saying. There's got to be a pecking order. If you look at the super team in Miami, who had the ball? LeBron had the ball. Even though Dwayne Wade, he was the alpha male, right? If you look at Boston, what happened? Tatum is the guy, right? He is the guy. To me, with Luka and Kyrie, it's like they both want to be the dude. Well, who's going to be Batman? Who's going to be Robin? Even if you look at the Nets with Kyrie and KD, KD, you notice, Pharrell, doesn't need the ball a ton. Give him the ball, bang. Get him one dribble, pull up, bang. ISO guards. One's got to be the guy, and one's got to be the other guy. That's why I figure, like, a team like Atlanta, we haven't talked about Atlanta much. That hasn't worked either, Pharrell, with DeJounte Murray and Trey. They've done it in spots, but if Trey becomes the guy, DeJounte becomes that second side guy, it will work. Kind of like when Luka was Jalen Brunson, because Jalen was willing to be that second side guy, and Luka go to work, and then he gets a kicker, and then he does his job.
Well, don't you want a one and a two? Like, it's obvious that Luka has to be the point, and that Kyrie creates on his own as the two, like nobody's business. That's the way the game's meant to be played, with a one and a shooter. You talk about specialty players all the time with me. One guy has to be the shooter. The other guy has to be the guy that makes that shot feasible.
I agree. But here's the problem with those two. You got two boneheaded, stubborn as you know what players playing together. Someone's got to give. Someone's got to give. And that's why that's why I still can't believe in Dallas, because at the end of the day, who is going to be the guy, Pharrell? And who's going to be the off-ball guy? You can't trade him on and off, because there's no vibe or no chemistry. Just say to Kyrie, listen, Luka's going to get the ball up the floor. He's going to run the first side action. You're on the second side. Luka don't got it. He'll throw it to you. You got a shot, drive, and you go to work. Right? There's got to be a pecking order in regards to first side, second side player. I'm not saying that Jaden Ivey and Cade Cunningham can't play together. They should. They got two guys that could score. But who's going to be the first side guy? Who's going to be the second side guy? And figure it out.
I think they can play together. I think the problem has been that Cade got injured and he's done for the year. And then we never got to see them actually try to go off together on the court at the same time. I think next year they'll get the full assessment of and evaluate if they can play together or not. I think they have to. When they drafted him, they did it with the intent of playing together. It's time for the lion's share, brought to you by BetMGM, with Coach's Scooby Snacks of the Night.
Scooby Snack tonight. Play number one. It moved, but I'm still on them. Raptors -5.5 at home versus Miami. Miami 2-5 against the spread the last seven road games. They're 1-4 against the spread the last five road games versus a team with a winning home record. Raptors 7-1-1 against the spread the last nine home games. 5-1-1 against the spread the last seven games overall. They got to make a move here. Give me the Raptors -5.5 at home. Next, I know it's a big spread, but I'm willing to take a chance on it. Give me the Celtics -11.5 at the Wizards. Celtics are 4-1 against the spread the last five games. 7-3 against the spread the last 10 versus a team with a losing straight up record. Wizards are 0-5 against the spread the last five versus a team with a winning straight up record. No Bradley Beal, no Kyle Kuzma. Give me the Celtics minus the points. Next, I'm going to whoop that trick. Grizzlies -6.5 at home versus the Magic. The Magic are playing well, for all I've got to admit. 4-1 against spread the last five road games, but this is a different animal. Grizzlies 3-1-1 against spread the last five. 43-19-2 against spread the last 64 home games. They got Ja back. They got to get going. Give me the Grizzlies minus points. Next, I'm going to go with an under 234.5 and Pelicans Warriors. I think the Pelicans will try to slow this game down. I wouldn't be surprised if they're in this game, for all. And then notice is a big line at 8.5. The under is 6-1 in the last seven road Pelicans games. 5-1 to the under the last six overall. The under is 10-2 the last 12 meetings. 4-1 to the under the last five meetings in Golden State. Give me under 234.5 and Pelicans Warriors.
Cleveland tonight in Atlanta, actually getting two against the Hawks. I think Cleveland's flat out better than Atlanta.
Yeah, this is more about the fact that the line is this way because the home team has won every game, and the last time that Atlanta played Cleveland, they hung 138 on them at home. I ain't backing this. This was probably going to be my next play if I took one. I like Cleveland plus the points. Take them on the money line, whatever it's worth. Cleveland's a better team. They're trying to get themselves for going for the playoffs. I think Atlanta's still trying to figure it out with Quinn Snyder.
And who do you like tonight in the NIT games? North Texas is laying 1.5 to Whiskey, and UAB is laying 4.5 to Utah Valley in Las Vegas. Any love there?
I'm going to go with the two favorites. Listen, you're watching a team like North Texas in the league, what they've done. I like this team, all right? And they give teams battle, and they get teams fight. So I like North Texas minus the points versus Wisconsin. I know it's Wisconsin, they're the high major team. I don't care. Give me North Texas, and give me UAB. Like, to me, they've played really well. They showed up and showed out. Utah Valley's had a nice time, nice year. Games have been at home. Now they got a neutral site in Vegas. Give me UAB -4.5.
Cream Puff Reaper coming back tomorrow night. I got 10 seconds. What is your initial thought of that?
Buckle up. So let's finally see if this Suns is what they're made of. But let's see them all healthy for more than two games.
All right, Coach. We'll see you tomorrow on the Lion's Share. Thanks, buddy.
Mañana.
We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So Mike DeCourcy joins us every week from the Sporting News. Now, Mike, I was actually watching, I don't remember which one it was, but I'm guessing it was the Creighton-San Diego State game that you were at, because you were in the front row and I saw you on TV, on CBS, like all day. For me, it was like, I go, there's DeCourcy. You were sitting right there in the front row on the table doing it, covering the game. I could see you reacting to plays, and you were right there front row. So you were all over CBS during that game. That was the game, right? And I saw you like 10 times. I mean, you got some serious FaceTime on the network, Mike. You looked fantastic. I got to tell you.
Thank you. I did have a terrific view because of my seat of the Ryan Nemhard foul on Darian Trammell, and what we saw at the end of that game. It was I'm Scott, not a person who believes that there should be a different interpretation of the rules late in games. I believe that the players decide the games by obeying the rules or violating them as well as they do by making plays. The problem I had was that for 39 minutes and 55 seconds, what occurred on that play was not called a foul. And in that 5 seconds, it was. And that's why objected to what happened. It was a very physical basketball game. If that had been a very physical foul, blow the whistle. But a guy's hand on the other guy's hip, I'm not buying it. I just did not think that was the right call to make.
I can't agree with you more. I actually had Tim Brando on yesterday. Ad nauseam, we talked about it. And we agreed with you in the same regard. My feeling was simple, is that I just had to explain it to you how I was thinking. So I'm watching with my daughter, and I said, they cannot foul. They have to let him shoot the ball and miss. They cannot let him go to the line, because he makes one or two. You got 4 3-seconds to go down the floor, and they haven't gotten a good shot off in an hour. Every shot was contested. They never got one good look for the entire second half. They're not going to even get a shot off, let alone win the game on a bomb. They're not going to get a good shot. They have to get in his face and make him miss the shot. Do not foul. Instead, this guy, they played it perfectly, and he goes around the top of the key to the left elbow, and he tries the hardest shot in basketball. A running floater from 8 to 10 feet out, as you know, is brutal. And most kids try to net it. They don't try to use the square and the backboard. They try to net it and cleanly float it in. And 8 out of 10 times, they hit the back of the rim and miss. I thought his hand on the hip had nothing to do with it. He never moved. He never wavered. He never went to his left. His body never moved at all. His arm was straight the entire time. He flat out missed it like most kids do. And then he started flailing and put on his Oscar performance. It was a terrible call. And the ref decided the game, gave him a Willy Wonka ticket to the Final Four instead of letting the players decide it in overtime. Simple as that.
Yeah, I really do believe that it was the wrong call to make. And again, not because it was the last play, but because it wasn't the proper call in that game. If it had been the Miami-Texas game, which was a very tightly officiated game, lots of foul calls, lots of free throws, because and partly because both teams are expert at attacking the lane and forcing you to foul or forcing you to get out of the way. And most college teams, they're going to foul. So that was the problem for me, was the nature of that game. And who made it that way? Well, for one, San Diego State, because that's the way they play. And for two, the officials for allowing it to go in that direction. I mean, if you walked into the gym and there was a box up on the thing and you said, do you want this game to be called tightly or loosely today? You know Creighton's going to say tightly. They're the best offensive team on the floor. They're going to say, you know, let us go. But San Diego State doesn't do that. And I'm not saying that they foul egregiously. I think there are teams that foul more than they do, but they do use their physicality to dictate the nature of the game. And so that game was allowed to be a physical game. There were very few fouls called on either side for 39 minutes and 56 seconds. But then they call one. That was the problem that I had. They did not follow the nature of the game that they had allowed to be established.
Do you think that after that controversy, which is what it was, and then nobody said anything, Ian and Spinarco were like, a foul, because you weren't listening to them. You were watching the game. This is what we heard on national television. A foul. And that's it. He had his hand on his hip, and it's a foul. And that's all there is to it. None of them questioned it the way you and I or Brando or anybody else, or Jay Wright even. The whole game, they don't call anything. And then you call that hand on the hip. That hand on the hip had nothing to do with him missing. His straight arm, it was so obvious. Anyone that plays basketball knows he flat out missed the floater. That's all that happened. And then we have a great overtime game. Do you believe that after they got that call and got gift-wrapped the Final Four, and I believe me, I love San Diego State. I think they play ferocious defense. They're a great team. I love Dutcher. I like everything they stand for. I'm not against San Diego State. My kid wants to go to school there. So here's the deal. Do you think they're going to call it differently now that they're playing a run-and-gun team in FAU on Saturday and they're going to get screwed over because they got away with murder in the game in the Elite Eight?
You know, that's an interesting question because we faced the same thing earlier. This is FAU's second time against an extremely veteran physical defense. In the Sweet 16, they played Tennessee, and Tennessee was coming off, this is a true number, 11 fouls were called against Tennessee. I mean, that's like 5 minutes for them. Fouling is kind of built into the game plan for the Vols. They are called for a lot of fouls because they are a very physical team. And they went into the Sweet 16 against Florida Atlantic, and there was that concern. It did not seem to be called a lot differently. I do think they called more fouls. Well, it was hard not to call more fouls on Tennessee against FAU than they did against Duke. That was ridiculous, the way that game was officiated. But in the case of that game, I thought that there wasn't that much of a change for Tennessee. I don't think the way the game was called got Tennessee beat. I think their struggle to score it down the end got them beat. I think that in this game, it might be a little bit more tightly called, if only because we're on the biggest stage. And also because, hopefully, you've got the best officials in college basketball in Houston. There'll be three that work the first semi, there'll be three that work the second, and there'll be three that work the championship game. So hopefully you've got the best in the game calling the game properly and not allowing the game to be overly physical. Look, I don't have a problem with the way San Diego, I just absolutely was awestruck by how well San Diego State cuts off penetration. I don't know if I've ever seen a team better at it. Certainly there might be some that were as good, but I don't know that I've ever seen a team that with more parts, more moving parts, that just walls off penetration as well as they do. So I think they can still be very effective in this game. It'll be interesting to see. The one thing Florida Atlantic has is that they've seen something like this fairly recently. If UConn gets SD State in the final, they really haven't. That's not the nature of the teams in the Big East. The good teams in the Big East are not like that. And the good teams they've played in this tournament have mostly not been like that.
You ranked in the sporting news UConn, San Diego State, Miami, and FAU. 1, 2, 3, 4. Do you really believe, because obviously in my guesstimate here is that you're basing that on defense, on San Diego State being two, because FAU's a better team than San Diego State. I mean, they have destroyed everyone they played all year. They destroyed Tennessee in that second half, a great defensive team, the third best defensive team in the country. They destroyed them. They humiliated them is what they did. How do you dominate and then you're leading by five, whatever, and then you never play basketball the rest of the way because you got your ass run out of the gym is what happened. They are unstoppable. Betting against them is unhealthy. It's not good for my heart, Mike. And listen, I agree with you. the San Diego State team is as good as the 76 Bob Knight Hoosiers that never lost a game. That was the best defensive team I ever watched in my life. And this team is so good defensively. They even make shot. All their mid-range shots go down. And we all think they suck offensively, but they don't. They make mid-range shots better than any team in the tournament. They make the 12 to 15 footer look easy. And every time you think they're going to miss, they don't. They didn't miss a shot in that game for 7 minutes until that kid missed that floater.
Yeah, you know, I think, well, the reason, let's not forget, San Diego State's a 30-win team, too. They know how to win, and they're more veteran. They're more experienced. They are better defensively. I think they're going to be more comfortable on this stage because San Diego State is not a mid-major program. I fight with people all the time who put them into that category. I'm sorry. I've been to Viejas Arena, watched them play BYU back in the Jimmer Fredette days, and that was a big-time atmosphere. That's not a mid-major. I don't care what anybody says.
You're right.
I know the difference between San Diego State and Morehead State. I've been to both places. Morehead State, good for them. They have a nice program and facility, but it's not. You know, it's not the difference between San Diego State and let's say Cal, where I've also been. I mean, there's almost no difference.
No difference.
And San Diego State is going to be in the Pac-12 fairly soon.
Yeah, they are.
You watch.
Yeah, they are. Hey, so real quick, your thoughts on Miami with their $2 million team payroll, and they're taking on UConn, who everyone, including you, has already crowned. I think Miami's going to give them a game.
They will. They are hard to guard. Here's the thing about Miami. They are probably as hard to guard as in this season as anybody is. They are really effective at spreading the court, at making you guard the one-on-one, at putting their best offensive players in proximity to your least defensive players. They're great at all of those things. But what Texas forgot and what Texas saw in the first 30 minutes was you can score on these guys. You work your offense. You're scoring on the Canes. They are not a good defensive team. They're 108th in defensive efficiency in the country. They are not good at it. If you work your offense and don't think about, boy, if I miss this shot, we might not go to the Final Four. If you work your offense, you can score on them all day. And that's what Texas did for 30 minutes and did not do for the final 10. That's what
Why?
Pitt did in the two games. Why? Because of the pressure, because of it gets a little hard. Guys tighten up a little bit, and they're a little bit better defensively. And then all of a sudden you're like, hey, wait, this isn't easy anymore. And, oh, by the way, if I miss this shot, we might not go to Houston. That's what happens. But I think that if UConn goes out there and uses all their assets, all the terrific players that they have, Jordan Hawkins, Andre Jackson, the two centers clinging from off the bench, and Adama Sanogo, the starter. If they use it all, they absolutely should win that game, and then they have to fight their way through, presumably, a really tough veteran team in SD State.
So I'm sure you're going. Enjoy it. And then secondly, I thought that Kid Miller had the greatest game I've ever seen anyone have in college basketball. 7 for 7 from the floor, 13 of 13 from the line. The perfecto, the hundo. My man was a hundo from the floor.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Some guys have all the luck. Your boy DeCourcy going to the Final Four. It's time for Today in Carver High History.
We go back to 1942 today. Ooh. Stanford beats Dartmouth 53-38. What a barn burner to win the NCAA title. 44, Utah beats Dartmouth. Look at Dartmouth going to all these championship games. 1950, City College of New York beats Bradley to become the first team to win an NCAA and NIT in the same year. 63, the Titans changed their name to the Jets. 72, Will Chamberlain plays his last pro basketball game, drag. 77, Marquette beats UNC for their first NCAA title. Al McGuire retires after that. 1982, La Tech beats HBC school Cheney in the first ever NCAA women's basketball championship. 83, Hal Sutton comes back from four down in the final round to win a rain-affected Monday finish at the Players. 1984, Robert Irsay packs up the truck and moves the Colts in the middle of the night from Baltimore to Indianapolis. What a nice guy. 1990, Jordan scores 69, the fourth time in his career he scored 60 or more. 90, Jesse Owens awarded the Congressional Gold Medal by President George H.W. Bush. 99, Purdue beats Duke in the women's title. 99, David Duvall wins the Players. 2004, Adam Scott holds on to beat Potty Harrington at the Players Championship. 2005, Fred Funk, oldest player to win the Players. I also know today, Scotty, in 92 was the Leitner shot against Kentucky for Duke. That was in Philadelphia, right? In 92 to send him to the Final Four. Grant Hill to Leitner at the baseline and hit the shot there. So that was also today in 92.
At the Spectrum. No.
At the old Spectrum, yes. It was at the Spectrum, that crazy Leitner shot. Man, we hate Duke basketball.
That was the greatest really play in college basketball history, no?
How do you allow that? How do you allow the guy to throw the ball all the way down court and catch it uncontested?
Never happened since.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.